Welcome to Torah Yomecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Tet Zayin. Chapter 16 is the third and final chapter about Asa, King of Yehuda. In the last perek, Asa instituted a spiritual renewal in the kingdom, and the chapter ended on a high note of Hashem granting the kingdom peace for many years. Chapter 16, a short perek with only 14 verses, begins with a war. Bishnat 36 l'malchut Asa, ala basha melch Yisrael al Yehuda, vayivein et harama, levilti teit yotzeva va la'asa melch Yehuda. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, King Basha of Israel marched against Yehuda and built up Ramah to block all movements of King Asa of Yehuda. Before we discuss the details in this pasuk, let us identify Basha. He was the third king of the northern kingdom and seized the throne by assassinating King Nadav, the son of Yeravam ben Nevat, and eliminated Yeravam's entire family. He reigned for 24 years from Tirzah and continued the idolatrous worship of golden calves. Because of his wickedness, the prophet Yehu foretold the destruction of his dynasty, which occurred after his son Elah succeeded him. The first element of the pasuk that needs elucidation is the date. The Mefarshim, commentaries, Radak, Masudat David, Malbim, and more, picked up on the fact that chronologically, the events described in pasuk Aleph could not have happened in the 36th year of Asa's reign. They all quote or refer to the Midrash in Seder Olam Rabbah chapter 16. There we read, Bishnat 36 l'malchut Asa, ala basha melch Yisrael al Yehuda. Efshar lo markein, halo Asa kavar et basha, bishnat chavav l'malchuto. Uma talmud lomar le'asa, kineged lamed vav shana, shenitzchatein Shlomo, bivat paro melch Mitzrayim. Ukineged lamed vav shana, shenigzira amalchul beit David, shetichalek. Ubachrona atida shetachzor lehem. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Basha, the king of Israel, came up against Yehuda. Is this possible? Did not Asa bury Basha in the 28th year of his reign? What then does it mean of Asa's reign? These are the 36 years that Shlomo was married to Paro's daughter, and these are the 36 years that it was decreed that David's kingship be divided, but that it would be eventually reunited. Seder Olam Rabbah is teaching us that the words of our verse are not to be taken literally. The 36 years are not counted from the moment that Asa assumed the throne, but from the moment when, during Rehoboam's reign, the kingdom was divided. These 36 years of a split kingdom had been imposed because Shlomo had married foreign wives, of whom the Egyptian princess was the most significant. The split did not need to last more than the duration of the tragic marriage. When the 36 years were up, the decree that Israel be split into two nations was to come to an end. But unfortunately, Asa did not handle the war with Basha as he should have done, as we will soon see as we continue through the perek. The second issue in this pasuk that needs clarification is understanding exactly what Basha built. What is a Ramah? Matsuda David believes that Basha built a lofty tower opposite the gates of Jerusalem from which they cast stones upon those entering and exiting. Malbim explained that he built fortifications in Ramah, a city near the southern border of the Kingdom of Israel, in order to seal off the border of his land, so as not to allow anyone to go out or come into the land of Yehuda. This was because he saw that many of his people had defected to Asa, as we mentioned in chapter 15. Verses 2 and 3 inform us, Vayotze Asa kesef izahav ma'otro beit Hashem ubeit ha-melech. Vayishlach el ben Hadad melech Aram, hayoshev b'darmesek lemor. Asa took all the silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of God in the royal palace and sent them to King ben Hadad of Aram, who resided in Damascus, with this message, Brit b'ni u'b'necha, u'b'n avi u'b'n avicha, hine shalachti lecha kesev izahav, lech hafer pritcha et basha melech Yisrael, v'ya'ale me'alai. There is a pact between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. I herewith send you silver and gold. Go and break your pact with King Basha of Israel, so that he may withdraw from me. It would seem that Ben-Hadad had concluded a treaty with Basha, and based on that, Basha felt strong enough to attack the kingdom of Yehuda. Asa now argues that a pact that Ben-Hadad had previously concluded with Avia superseded his commitment to Basha. Not only does that agreement preempt Ben-Hadad's commitment to Baasha, but Asa gives him silver and gold to match any financial gain he may have received from Baasha. Note, Asa did not ask Ben-Hadad to attack Baasha, just not to assist him. What silver and gold did Asa take from the treasury? Based on what we have learned previously, it was probably the treasure from Egypt that he had gotten back from the Cushites. We were so happy when that happened in chapter 14, and now he gave it away as a bribe? Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa, as he liked the idea, and he sent several regiments of his army against the cities of Israel. He chose to do this on his own initiative. When Baasha heard of the attack, he seized building Ramah and suspended its labor in order to focus on the efforts to stabilize his northern borders. King Asa gathered all of Yehuda, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its wood. They dismantled the fortified structures that Baasha had built, and he built with them Geva and the Mitzpah in the kingdom of Yehuda. But then, Uba'etahi ba'chanania roa el Asa melch Yehuda, v'yomer elav, v'hishancha al melch haram, v'lo nishanta al Hashem elokecha, al kein nimlat chel melch haram miyadecha. At that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa of Yehuda and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and did not rely on the Eternal, your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has slipped out of your hands. Halo hakushim v'aluvim, hayu l'chayel l'rov l'rechev l'parshim l'harbeim ma'od, u'bihishancha al Hashem netanam biyadecha. The Cushites and Libyans were a mighty army with chariots and riders in very great numbers, yet because you relied on God, they were delivered into your hands. Ki Hashem einav mishotetot b'chol ha'aretz li'itchazek im levavam shalem elav niskalta azot ki me'ata yeshimcha melchamot. For God's eyes range over the entire earth to give support to those who are wholehearted. You have acted foolishly in this matter, and from now on you will be beset by wars. Based on all that we have learned about Asa until now, you might expect him to immediately humble himself and ask for forgiveness, and yet that is not what happened. Asa was angry with the seer and placed him in prison because he was in a rage over this matter. Then Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Malbim helps us understand Asa's reaction somewhat. Hanani did not say what he said to Asa in the manner of prophecy or in the name of Hashem, but rather as a rebuke based on reason and faith. Therefore, he is called a roeh. There is a distinction between a roeh and a chozeh. A chozeh, a visionary or prophetic seer, beholds divine matters in prophetic vision, whereas a roeh perceives through intellect and sensory observation. Had Hanani spoken to Asa calmly and with respect, Asa would not have become angry with him. The reason Asa became enraged was that Hanani spoke to him with fury, and it would seem he also gathered people who stood with him against the king. Therefore, Asa also oppressed some of the people because of this. But even so, Asa was so righteous, and we were so happy that after Rehoboam and Abiah, Malchut Yehuda was in the hands of a good king. What happened? Rabbi Moshe Eisenman suggests, once in possession of the treasure, Asa's perspectives underwent a tragic change. Suddenly, his fate seemed to rest with Ben-Hadad rather than with Hashem. If disaster is to be averted, he reasoned, the heathen general must be bribed. The potential that the treasure represented was dissipated in an act of desperation, entirely unfitted for the exalted stature of which Asa had shown himself capable. It is a heartbreaking ending to Asa's reign. The last four verses of the chapter are the summary of his reign, but we learn something new in verse 12. Vayechale Asa b'shnat 39 l'malchuto b'raglav ad l'mala chalyo v'gam b'chalyo lo darash et Hashem ki berofim. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became ailing in his legs, his sickness spreading upward, but ill as he was, he still did not turn to God, but to physicians. What was the cause of his sickness? Ralbag explained that when Asa sent the bribe to Ben-Hadad, he demonstrated his inability to go to battle on his own. It was as though his own feet would not carry him. The appropriate punishment, mida keneged mida, measure for measure, was a sickness of the feet. Rabbi Eisenman suggests that the treasure of Egypt became Asa's feet. These could be his willing servants to carry him to spiritual grandeur, or they could overpower him and drag him to nothingness. Asa had become sick in terms of his sense of priorities initially and consequently in his legs. Then it spread upward. Asa's failing did not stop with the mishandling of his worldly powers, but eventually his spiritual standing also became compromised. I want to clarify the last words of the Pasuk, which suggests that Asa sinned by turning to doctors and not to Hashem. The Rambam wrote that seeking medical advice and taking prudent steps for the preservation of health can be compared to eating when hungry. No possible stigma should be attached to one who consults doctors in his sickness. We are expected to do both our hishtadlut, our own physical efforts to get better when sick, going to doctors, taking medicine, as well as praying to Hashem, who ultimately is the one who heals us. We have now come to the end of Asa's reign. There is an important lesson here about Emunah in Hashem. But what is the lesson? There are so many facets and aspects to Emunah and really putting our faith into Hashem. I'd like to share a lesson from Rabbi David Ashir on DivreiChizuk.com that spoke to me, and I hope it can help strengthen your Emunah. He wrote, "We hear stories all the time of people who experienced difficult problems which were solved as a result of their Emunah and prayers. We have heard of people facing financial distress who relied on Hashem and He came through for them. We have heard of ill patients whose doctors despaired but were miraculously cured. We have heard stories of childless couples who suddenly had a child after years of waiting and unsuccessful treatments. These are all powerful stories that can strengthen our Emunah. Each such story that one hears reinforces his faith and reminds him that he too can be saved from whatever trouble he faces, no matter how hopeless the situation seems. These stories make us think, if a person can finally find a match after so many years, then I too can find my match. If Hashem gave that couple a child after 12 years, then I too can still be blessed with a child. The more stories we hear, the more hope we have, recognizing that Yeshua is Hashem Keref Ayin. Hashem's salvation can arrive in the blink of an eye. We are so fortunate to know that we have Hashem who can do anything, who is not limited by any odds or statistics, and has a solution for every problem. This recognition gives us hope, which allows us to get through even the most difficult situation, for we always know that tomorrow the situation could change. At the same time, however, there is also a danger in hearing so many stories with beautiful, happy endings. One who hears so many stories might feel resentful and begin wondering, why doesn't this ever happen to me? I relied on Hashem for help and I was let down. I thought I prayed so hard, but I didn't see any results. Such thoughts can cause people to lose Emunah and lose hope. We must remember that Hashem is the source of all kindness and everything He does is kind, regardless of whether or not we recognize how. He listens to every word of prayer we recite, and He knows every feeling we experience in our hearts and every thought that passes through our minds, even when we do not see the results we were hoping for. This, too, is a manifestation of Hashem's kindness. When a person responds with Emunah when he did not receive what he wanted, despite relying on Hashem, this is one of the greatest acts of service to Hashem that one can perform. The holy books describe the towering spiritual heights that one reaches when he says, I don't know why this is happening, but I know Hashem loves me, and I will continue to believe and draw closer to Him. Such people attain greatness, and the entire world rests on their shoulders. And every time they reinforce their Emunah, they grow to even greater heights. If a person was praying for a long time, but still did not get the help he asked for, and he is ready to despair, his next prayer to Hashem is so much greater than any other tefillot he has recited. And even if then he does not see the desired results, his next prayer is an even greater spiritual accomplishment. This is what it means to live with Emunah, recognizing Hashem's greatness, learning about His kindness, looking to Him for hope, knowing that He can help, but at the same time, trusting that He knows what He is doing, even when we do not receive what we want, and continuing to serve Him with joy and serenity. May we all learn from Asa about the importance of trusting in Hashem in all situations, and may we merit the ability to really see and truly understand all of Hashem's kindnesses in our lives. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudi Bakadel Yahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.